grace and his mercy and his peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Today is the last Sunday in the church year, so I thought it would be a great Sunday for us to talk about the great day of the Lord, which is also called the last day, the end of this world, or as it's also known, the return, the great day of the return of Christ. Let's take a look at that great day of the Lord today and see what God would teach us about it in his word for our help and encouragement in Christ. What is it? What are we to expect? Is it really coming? When is it coming? Are we ready for it? Is the world ready for it? And is that going to be a good day, do you think, or a bad day? Well, let's take a look at that today. The great day of the Lord. Say the words, day of the Lord. So what we're talking about today, let's see what God would teach us about that today by his word, the scriptures. First of all, let's ask this one. Will there be a last day of this world? Does this world actually have an end? Will our present world that we're living in right now at one time cease to be in the future? Let's take a look at that. Now, the world pretty much says, no, this world's going to continue forever. It remains forever. But Peter, in his letter, warned us against such people who say such things. 2 Peter 3, he says, first of all, you must understand this, that scoffers will come in the last times, in the last days, with scoffing, following their own passions, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Isn't that true? That's what we're experiencing right now. Scoffers out in the world, namely the world at large, as well as the unbelieving scientific community at large, will say, you know, we don't see anything different going on. The world's basically always been here. The world will continue forever. It has no end. So they'll deny the end of the world with the one hand, but academically, in a strange, illogical way, they will say the world had a beginning 20 billion years ago. Nothing existed, and then the nothing exploded by a power that didn't exist and created everything, so they say. That's illogical. How do you have nothing explode by a power that doesn't exist and create a beautiful, ordered universe? And so, on the one hand, they'll acknowledge a beginning to the world, a big bang, so they call it, wrongly, but they won't acknowledge an end of this world. So what they're doing is actually fulfilling what Peter said, that there's going to be scoffers in the very last days of this world who will deny the coming of the Lord. What does he say? He goes on, he says, they, these unbelievers, deliberately, that is, willfully, purposefully, voluntarily, intentionally, ignore this fact. This is a fact that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago, and an earth formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by that same word, the heavens and earth that now exist, our present world, has been stored up for fire, being kept until the day, say the words, the day, the day of judgment. And the destruction of ungodly men. So is there a day of the world of the Lord coming, an end of this world? Yeah. Peter says, remember, God, by his word, created the world. By that same word, he destroyed the ancient world through a flood of water. The present world we're living in, by his word, continues to exist. And by that same word that does all these things, so also he's going to destroy this world at the end, not by water this time, but this world by fire. So remember these things, says Peter. So there is a coming end to this world. I want to ask, do you believe that? We better believe it, because not only Peter, but God himself declares it all the way through Scripture, that there is a coming end to this world. But the question is, are we ready for it? Are you ready? Well, let's consider, as we move in that direction, How close do you think this is, this day that the Lord speaks of in His Word, the final day, the last day, the great day of the Lord? How close are we to that? When is it going to come? How near are we to its approach? How close are we in proximity to its arrival? Can we predict its coming? Well, you know the answer to that one. We can't predict the very exact day or the hour of it, for Jesus says, of that day and of that hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, at least while He was on earth, but the Father only. So what can we say of the day of the Lord? This is top secret. This is a document sealed and classified far above our pay grade. The Father alone knows the day fixed for the very last day of the world. But that being said, can we know at least generally how close it is and estimate its arrival in an overarching way? Yeah, absolutely. Jesus told us clues to look for called signs. We read this in Matthew 24. You know this very well, but let's refresh. As He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" Isn't that what we'd like to know? And Jesus answered, "Take heed that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, earthquakes, in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death." That is, Christians are going to be hunted down towards the end of time to the end of the world, hated by the world. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Fall away from what? The truth, the church. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved, says Jesus. So do you believe that? There are clues, there are signs, you know them well. And how close then can we approximate the coming of the Lord's day based on those clues? Well, frankly, we've seen all that stuff, right? With our own eyes, we see wars all even over there in Israel today, as well as World War II and across the world, and World War I, and etc. We've seen all these famines, pestilences, and a great falling away in the church. Do you think there's a falling away in the church? Instead of teaching these things I just mentioned, they're promoting the most vile, demonic doctrines out there today. Great perversions, especially sexual. There are even bishops going around calling themselves a they. "They is coming to visit you today. They is our bishop." What are you talking about, they? It's one person. No, this person wants to be two people at once, boy and girl. So would you say, according to the signs, the clues, that we are approaching fast the day of the Lord, which is a fact, as Peter says? Is wickedness multiplied? Well, certainly seems so. And then the next line here in Matthew 24, Jesus says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So the other sign to look for is the gospel. It's reaching to the ends of the earth. How close are we to the ends and the far corners? Well, nearly there. 99.999%. All nations have heard the gospel. So the word of the Lord is true. In my estimation, at least, I say that day draws near speedily. And it's a real day. And we're going to see it like a locomotive. If you can't see the train yet, still, I go down to the tracks and I hear a great rumbling of the tracks. You can hear something coming down. And there's a turn just before it comes into the station. I see billowing smoke rolling up into the sky above. The train is about to come into the station, friends. It's real. It's true. And Jesus, therefore, tells us, "Watch, therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house is coming, in evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. The word there means be alert, be ready for it. So, are you ready for the day of the Lord? The last day, the end of this world, the return of Christ? Next question let's ask is this. But what's going to happen on that day, the last day? What events will occur or transpire? You know what? We have the apostles, we have the prophets speak of that, but Jesus doesn't leave it just to them. He says, I'm going to speak from my own lips, tell you exactly what's going to happen. We're going to go back to Matthew 24. And I know you know these things, but it's good always to refresh. Jesus says in verse 29 and following, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Wow, what a day, amen? Are you looking forward to this? What is going to happen coming soon to an earth near you? Actually, to this earth. What are we to expect? Jesus told us, number one, the sun is going to be darkened. The moon is going to turn to blood. The stars will not give their light and even fall to the earth. You know, I think that's kind of interesting when I watch the news. I saw some time ago Tucker Carlson, about a year or two ago, saying that Bill Gates, yeah, that infamous name, is trying to darken the sun. That's in his mind, by putting stuff up in the atmosphere to try to darken it. That would also, by the way, turn the moon to blood. I don't know if that's how God's going to do it, but I find it strange he's trying to darken the whole earth. And what do we read about the stars? This is what also John saw in Revelation. He says, then I saw, foretelling it, I saw the stars of the sky fall to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. Can you picture that? A fig tree with its fruit and it's shaking from the wind of a gale and all the stars, the figs start falling. That's what's going to happen to the stars, he says, on that day. The sky vanished like a scroll that's rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Can you picture that? You know, you want to go to England, I want to say England again, but one day England won't be there anymore because it's an island. No more islands when the Lord appears. Secondly, then will appear the sign of the Lord in the sky. The sign? What is the sign of the Lord? Answer? I don't know. But one thing I do know, you will recognize it. It's his royal emblem, his sign up there in the sky. People will look up the entire world and they'll go, the king, it's his sign, he's coming. Everybody's going to know what that is on that day. Thirdly, an archangel will sound a shrill trumpet. Jesus said the trumpet will sound when he comes. That is the some archangel. Ta-da! Can you picture that from heaven? Blowing, and all the earth, world round, will hear it. At that point, the whole vault or sky over us will split and crack asunder like as if we're in a planetarium. And it just backs off the whole ceiling and opens up, and down comes the king, which is number four. The Lord Christ will descend from heaven. And how's he going to come again? He says, with power and great authority and glory, with all his angels, the entire armies of heaven, and all the saints who have died and are with him there, they also will come down with him. Fifth thing that'll happen is every eye will see him. You know, some people won't want to see that. They're going to dive, says the scripture, into the rocks, into the holes of the ground. Hide us from the Lord's coming and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come. And who can stand before it? They will cry. They won't want to see it, but they will. The present, number six, the present heaven and earth will vanish like smoke. Are you worried about your bank account, your lakeside cottage, or your car? Well, don't worry. It's getting melted. It's only here for a little while. The world that we're living in right now, says the scriptures, okay, is going to be put away like old clothes that you just take off at the end of a dirty day and toss into the hamper. Like a scroll that's rolled up like a drape. Just roll right away when the Lord comes, because he has to make way for a new world. Picture it. The earth will be destroyed by fire. Remember, the first one, Noah, the ancient world, that was a flood. The waters came down, the floods came up, and washed everything away to make a new world. It's going to happen again, friends. Happened to our ancestors. It's going to happen to us. But this time, it's fire, not water. It's fire. And all the world, every work of man, shall be burnt up on that day, says the Lord. And I declare to you his word. And seventhly, what's going to happen? The king, that's Jesus, when he comes down, will sit upon a throne. Which throne? His royal throne. Now to judge the earth, all men who have ever lived for what they've done in their lives. Whew, that's pretty fearsome. Amen. The Father judges no one, Jesus says, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So God could judge us, but he says, Son, you do it. And he will sit on his throne. Before him, the angels will gather all people, great and small, all who've ever lived, resurrected, to stand before the throne, Jesus. And what happens then? Books are opened. What's in them? Everything that everybody's ever done. We're judged for what we've done in and with our bodies. And even the secrets of our heart are disclosed by the fire of that day. And we'll be judged for what was in those books. But there's also a book of life of the Lamb, those saved in him. These shall be saved. And the sea will give up the dead in it. Death and Hades, the dead in them, and all will be judged by what they had done. Sailors lost at sea thousands and thousands of years ago, eaten by crabs or sharks. These too will stand before the Lord on that day to receive the just reward for their deeds, according to God's great judgment. So what can we call the great day of the Lord? The day of judgment. Judgment day. That is coming soon to an earth near you, to this earth, says God by his declaration. So are you ready for it? Is the world ready for this? That really is the big question, isn't it? Nobody can stop this, but you can be ready for it. And is the world ready? I'd say most people, the great percentage of the world today, they are not ready at all for this day to come. They don't believe this day. Therefore, considering it a legend and a myth and a delusion and a falsehood, they continue not fearing the Lord in wickedness and sin, unbelief and rebellion, not fearing the Lord, because judgment is not executed speedily, says Ecclesiastes. The heart of men is fully set to do evil. Isn't that true? How about another? There's Kathy Griffin, you know her? That comedian that is very anti-Christ. And she said when she received an Emmy Award some years ago, she said, a lot of people come up here and they thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one has had less to do with this award than Jesus. He didn't help me a bit. So all I have to say is, all I can say is, blanket Jesus, this award is my God now. Is that a good thing to be saying? I think this girl is in for a rude surprise and awakening as well on that day. God doesn't act right now all the time to judge things, okay? He waits for the last day, and then we'll see that he's been watching everything. Do you think a large percentage of the world today is in the same camp as these? And also will have a rude awakening on that day that they realize everything has been watched and recorded. You know, these women are representatives of, well, a large portion, the media, the Hollywood, actors, musicians, athletes, businessmen, politicians, shop owners, husbands, wives, and children. I would say most today are not ready. And what a fearsome thing that is. Amen? Next question. Is it going to be a good day or a bad day? Do you think? How about for those who are not ready for that day, who are still rejecting Christ and not rescued ahead of time for that day? Is that going to be a good or a bad day for them? Let's open up the Bible and see what God tells them very clearly, and hopefully they'll hear this word and repent. Isaiah 13, God declares, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is near, as destruction from the Almighty. It will come. Therefore, all hands will be feeble, and every man's heart will melt." Think about that. Melting hearts seeing this, and they'll be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in travail. Oh, baby coming. Oh no, the Lord, he's coming. They will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be aflame. Do you see? Their faces on fire. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, says the Bible, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. Sounds like Noah's day, right? For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. And God declares, "I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I'll put an end to the pride of the arrogant and lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless. I'll make men more rare than fine gold and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I'll make the heavens tremble and the earth will be shaken out of its place at the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger." Woo, friends! I mean, it's even tough to read that. I want to just start sweating bullets right now just thinking about it. You know, that is the day of judgment. And for those not in Christ, what a fearsome day it is. Oh, woe to you, O world! For that day, says Jeremiah, is the day of the Lord of God of hosts, a day of vengeance, to avenge himself on his foes. Do you think God cares about the injustices going on in the world today? Why does he not act today? Well, he does to some degree, but he is saving it for the last day. That day will make it clear he cares. The day of the Lord is near, says Ezekiel. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. And Obadiah says, "As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return upon your own head." What's Jesus going to say when he sits there on his throne, before him are gathered those who have not known him? He will say to them, "Depart from me, you workers of evil, you cursed into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And they will go away into eternal punishment. Of course, these are all scriptures I'm sharing with you. There men will weep and gnash their teeth in the furnace of fire, says the scripture. Another word for hell. So, good or bad day if you're not in Christ? Not a good day. Basically, a bad day. Let's call it a very, very bad day. Let's call it the worst, because it is the day of judgment. And so, what's the word from God to the world? Prepare now. And we need to help him with that, just like we were helped one time. Called to repent, just like Paul. Remember, preaching to the Athenians in the great Greek amphitheater, he said, "The times of ignorance, O world, God overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed. And of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead." So get ready, O world, and repent today. So next question is, what about us, though? What about the saints? Does Jesus have a word for us, too, about that day? Yeah, he says in Luke 12, "Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning." In other words, keep faith in me, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the marriage feast, that they may open to him but once when he comes and knocks. "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he says, he will gird himself and have them sit at table, and he'll come and serve them." And if he comes in the second or the third watch and finds them so, "Blessed are those servants," says the king. Which watch do you think we're in now? Second watch? Third watch? Fourth? Fifth? Sixth? I mean, we're really late, friends. If he finds you serving him at his coming and holding fast his gospel, man, oh man, the king himself will have you sit down, and he says, "I'll come and serve you. Watch what I'm going to do for you." But how do we get ready for that day? Well, the good news is, frankly, he came the first time to get us ready for the second time. Jesus has prepared you for that day. Colossians 1 says, "You, and I, who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy, blameless, and irreproachable before him. When you go and stand before the Lord on that day, you've believed in Christ, that his blood has set you free and reconciled you. That makes you pure, spotless. Your sins are gone. They're not on you. You're washed, you're saved, you're forgiven, you're his own. And he says, watch what I'm going to do for you on that day. For I have given my life as a ransom for you, to buy you. And I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And my name should be preached among nations. And forgiveness of sins and eternal life be preached in my name to all nations. And so you are going to be saved on that day and blessed abundantly. A good word for us is that the Lord's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance like you have. And he says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. From my mouth has gone forth in righteousness a word that shall not return. Listen carefully. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, and only in the Lord it shall be said of me our righteousness and strength. Do you agree? Only in him our righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed all who are incensed against him. He'll judge those. And in the Lord all the offspring of Israel, the Christians that is, shall triumph and glory. You get a great day ahead of you, says the Lord. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, my name, the name of Jesus, shall be saved. Wow. And what will that day be like for you? Will that be a good day or a bad day, would you say? Good day. Let's actually say great day. Very good day. The best. The best forever. A day of leaping and joy. Secondly, that friends, that will be the last day that you or I will ever have to see pain anymore, sickness or hurt. That'll be the last day, thirdly, that you and I ever see weakness again. For right now, you know, we're sown in weakness, but the Bible says you're going to be raised in power. Fourthly, God says that's going to be the last day, watch this, you're ever going to have to see death again. I hate seeing death in this world. Don't worry, God says you won't ever again. It'll be the last day you'll ever see loneliness, sadness, sorrow, or tears ever again. For God says, I personally am going to come to you. I'm going to wipe every tear from your eyes. You looking forward to it? Sixthly, it'll be the last day you will see this old world steeped in sin and falling into decay and darkness ever again. This present world gone. For the creation waits for, will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. I'm really looking forward to that one. New mountains, new oceans, new creatures, all raised and glorified and beautiful forever. That's what God has in store for you, a new heavens and earth in which righteousness dwells. And seventh and last, this will be the last day. The last day will be the last day you will ever not see my face, God says. Right now you hear his word, but you can't see his face. That day, man, you're going to see my face. And you're going to love it. It's going to be smiling upon you. We shall see his face, his name on our foreheads, and we'll reign with him forever and ever. And you shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy I personally will put upon your heads. You shall obtain joy and gladness, and all sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Thus says the Lord, the King. Oh, it's a great day for you, friends. So let's be ready for it. Hold to Christ. Warn the world. Save more. And keep to him. For friends, it is coming. It's a fact. It is a train. The tracks are already rumbling. The smoke billowing can be seen. The day is coming. The last day. But just think about this. The last day is really the first day of a great eternity and forever with God who loves you, Jesus, your fellow saints, into eternity forevermore. Praise God. And he who testifies to these things says, surely, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.